Beyond the Urdhva-loka planets, that is to say, above the Brahma-loka, are the material coverings of the universes. And above that is the spiritual sky, which is unlimited in expansion, containing unlimited self illuminated by quintet planets, inhabited by God Himself, along with His associates, who are all eternally liberated living entities. Sri Narada Muni could enter all these planets in both the material and spiritual spheres without restriction, as much as the Almighty Lord is free to move personally in any part of His creation. In the material world, the living beings are influenced by the three material modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. But Sri Narada Muni is transcendental to all these material modes, and thus he can travel everywhere unrestricted. He is a liberated spaceman. The causeless mercy of Lord Vishnu is unparalleled, and such mercy is perceived by the devotees only by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, the devotees never fall down, but the materialists, that is, the fruitive workers and the speculative philosophers, do fall down, being forced by their respective modes of nature. The rishis, as above mentioned, cannot enter into the transcendental world like Narada. This fact is disclosed in the Narasingha Purana. Rishis, like Marishi, like Marichi, are authorities of fruit of work. And rishis, like Sanaka and Sanatana, are authorities in philosophical speculations. But Sri Narada Muni is the prime authority for transcendental devotional service of the Lord. All the great authorities in the devotional service of the Lord follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni in the order of the Narada Bhakti Sutra. And therefore all the devotees of the Lord are unhesitatingly qualified to enter into the kingdom of God by Kunta. I'll read the verse again. Since then, by the grace of the Almighty Vishnu, I travel everywhere without restriction, both in the transcendental world and in the three divisions of the material world. This is because I am fixed in unbroken devotional service of the Lord.
Beginning with verse 12,
there's a series of verses in which Lord Krishna lists out, you could say, different qualities. Different qualities of the devotee which he appreciates, which the Lord appreciates and values, and he then becomes attracted to the devotee who has those qualities. And Srila Prabhupada, there's a very interesting class of Srila Prabhupada on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, or is it 13 and 14? Anyway, the first two verses in that sequence, I think it's 13 and 14 actually. So Krishna's just beginning to sing out these different qualities. No sense of possessiveness, no pride, these types of qualities. So Srila Prabhupada begins a class on those two verses, and Srila Prabhupada says, in effect, he says, this is Krishna consciousness. How will Krishna love me? How will Krishna love me? You know, oftentimes, or more generally, we hear, how will I love Krishna? Krishna Prema, how will I develop, come to the level of Krishna Prema, something like that. Which is, you know, it's all very well. But the way Prabhupada puts it there, it's very nice. How will Krishna love me? How can I become such a person so that Krishna, when he sees me, or thinks of me, Krishna will think, oh, what a wonderful person. I want this person. I want to associate with this person. And then it's not exactly a matter of going back to Godhead like many of us are, going from here to this place or that, to continue our lives in Krishna consciousness. And it's basically we are going. We are behind our movement from here to wherever. But when Krishna decides, I want you, that's it. Goodbye, material world. Goodbye, cruel world. I'm off to my quitter. But it's like Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. And it's not exactly like a do-it-yourself process. Well, it's not a do-it-yourself progress. In the Western world, I don't know, maybe in India, you get these shops that do-it-yourself people, DIY, and you can buy things and make your own radio or chair, or you just make all sorts of different things yourself, without having to go to the usual, you know, like the sort of authorities who really qualified in these things. You can do it yourself. But in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't really work like that. And this is what's happening here with Narada Muni. He got mercy. He got the mercy of the Lord. First of all, he got the mercy of the Lord through the Bhakti Vedantins, that group of devotees who stayed in his mother's house during the Chaturmasya one time when he was just a small boy, 5 years old. And somehow or other he got the inspiration to serve them. And he served them very nicely and they appreciated it. And he even asked them, can I have the remnants of your foodstuffs? And they said, yes, you can have some. So he did. And in this way, It had already impacted on his heart very, very deeply. And it became even at that point, a transcendentally inspired and in many ways enlightened person. Even though he's only 5 years old, normally we don't see that. 5-year-old children. Anyway, you all know, I think, what 5-year-old children are like. Generally. And I knew he really wasn't like that. So when his mother passed away, he didn't go into some state of great anxiety. He took it as the mercy of the Lord, which it was. And then he set out to find the Lord and visit the places of the Lord. Anyway, so we read all about that, and just a few days ago we read how he was sitting under a tree and the Lord appeared to him. And Narada, of course, this was very wonderful and amazing experience. And then the Lord told him that actually you're not really qualified, but I'm just doing this, just some mercy, just a bit of inspiration, so you'll carry on even more enthusiastically and become qualified. And we mentioned the other day, when Professor and I gave class the other day, we mentioned how, according to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, when the Lord said like that, and the Lord disappeared or started disappearing, and according to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Narada Muni said, could you appear again, please? Would you mind appearing again? But the Lord has said, just this one time, because you're not really there yet. But now he's there. Now he's definitely there. And in fact, now it is not just the 5-year-old child, or even, you could say, the person of that lifetime, so to speak. Now he's left his body, and he's gone back to Godhead. His spiritual body has manifested, as one of the previous verse says, just as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. Yeah. I don't know if you've been in one of these big electrical storms. Sometimes there's so much lightning, it becomes like daylight, even though it may be the middle of the night. Yeah. So that's real illumination, powerful illumination. So just like lightning and illumination occur simultaneously, Narada Muni left that body and his spiritual body manifested. Off he went, and here he is now, explaining himself in these terms to Srila Vyasadeva, that now he just goes here and there. By the grace of the Lord. He is not saying that now, like Prabhupada says in the purport, kind of, anyway, it's just an interesting way to put it. Narada Muni, what does he say, is some sort of spaceman, liberated spaceman. Liberated spaceman. He doesn't, you know, nowadays there's more and more talk about life on other planets amongst the materialists, going to other planets and maybe staying there. But of course, you know, if that can go on, which is a big if, But anyway, if it can go on, they're not going to go to the other planets like Maribyrnong does. Maribyrnong doesn't have to have one of these big space suits, you know, with oxygen supply and all that, and kind of clumsily move around. He just goes. And he's just there. In any different planet. And it doesn't matter what is the atmosphere, you know, the air, how much oxygen and all that, the balance of components in the air. He's just there. Away he goes. Yeah. I read a joke a while ago, actually. Out in one of the deserts in America, the NASA, the space people, they were doing a sort of a test run for supposedly landing perhaps on the moon or somewhere like that, in their spacesuits in the desert. And the local indigenous people, they gathered and they're watching all of this. And so one elder who didn't speak English, he asked his son, who spoke English, to speak to one of the spacemen. So he did. And he gave him a message. So the son went up to the spaceman and gave him a written note in the local indigenous language. And the son opened it up and looked at it and laughed and gave it to the spaceman and said, "My father says, when you get to the moon, can you give this to the people there? It's a message from my father. Can you give it?" And the spaceman looked at the message. He couldn't understand it. He said, "Oh, all right then." And he said to the son, he said, "But what does it say? What does it say? Can you translate it?" And the son said, "Yeah, okay. The message says, this is the message to the man on the moon, for the people, the local moon people. The message says, watch out for these people, they're after your land." Anyway, a small joke. Yeah. So the guy, he travels around, he's a liberated spaceman. By the mercy of the Lord, he goes to all these different places in the material world. Not just here. And then he goes to Vaikuntha. And he goes to Goloka Vrindavan. He just goes. And this is his way of life and this is his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, particularly at least when he comes to the material world, he preaches. He preaches. He's fixed in unbroken devotional service to the Lord, and in this way, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Prabhupada contrasts Narada Muni with some other people. He contrasts Narada Muni with a rishi like Marichi, who was mentioned in the previous verse. She should like to go to the Zanakir. Prabhupada contrasts Narada Muni with Marichi, who is an authority and fruit of work. And he contrasts Narada Muni with rishis like Sanaka and Sanatana, in other words, the four Kumaras, who are authorities in philosophical speculation. You know, we all know what happened when they went to Vaikuntha, at least the first time. Now that's quite a story. The four Puranas, not so easy. And we don't even read there that they actually entered. So Prabhupada contrasts Narayanamuni with Marichi, who's an authority in Buddhist work, and the four Puranas are authorities in philosophical speculation. And says Narayanamuni is the prime authority in the devotional service of the Lord, the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions in the purport how Nrisimha Purana, Prabhupada says, this fact is disclosed in the Nrisimha Purana, this difference between Narada, Marichi, and others of his type, and even the four Kumaras and people like them. Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the verse actually from Nrisimha Purana in his Krama Sandhava. Sanakadya Vibritakye Te Chidamre Niyojita Pratakye Naricharya Muktaikam Naradam Muni. The Kumars along the path of detachment, and Marichi and others are engaged in the path of material life. Only Narada is liberated. That's what Prabhupada's referring to there. From the Srimad Purana doesn't give a verse reference, but it's from the Srimad Purana. So Narada is a very special transcendental personality. Of course, there, you know, we hear about many transcendental personalities, like the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the devotees of Dwarka, Uddhava, and others, and so on and so forth. Narayanamuni has a special type of importance in the sense being described here, that Narayanamuni is traveling around presenting Krishna consciousness. Particularly, of course, he's preaching in the material world. But even when he goes to the spiritual world, Narayanamuni is just repeating Krishna Katha. Of course, everyone there is also pure devotee. But he engages with them in Krishna Katha. That's his business. That's his business. Even there's nice description in Chaitanya Mangala of how Narayanamuni visited the Earth planet, went back to Dwarka in Goloka Vrindavan, and met Krishna. And it's a bit of a long story, but when Narayanamuni came in, Lord Krishna saw that Narayanamuni was somewhat distressed. He was really upset, in anxiety. And the Lord asked him, what happened, Narayanamuni? What happened to you? Where have you been? And Narayanamuni said, well, I was on planet Earth. And I was trying to preach, as I always do, I was trying, but it was Kali Yuga, and I couldn't help the people. I was preaching, but they were just not accepting, and I don't know what to do. And like I said, it's a long story, but Narada told Krishna, you know, the only thing that can be done to help these people is that you will have to appear. You're just going to have to come. Otherwise, it's hopeless. No chance. And then Lord Krishna became very inspired. And he manifested his form as Lord Chaitanya and said, yes, I'll come in this form as a devotee and spread Krishna consciousness. So this is Narada Muni, though. He's moving around, and wherever he goes, he preaches and shares Krishna consciousness. And when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we see there that there's a number of the different stories which are told of different people and their experiences. There's quite a number throughout the 12 cantos, and quite a number of them, Narada Muni is the one who preaches to them. I mean, we could count even, it's probably more than anyone else. Here he is preaching to the Vyasadeva, and he preaches to others. He was the guru of Prahlad, and then so many. So this Narada Muni is a very special person by the mercy of the Lord. And he has the service of traveling around here and there, giving everyone Krishna consciousness. And in this way, when we read Nectar of Devotion, then it's described how different people became perfect in Krishna consciousness. Kamsa by fear, Shishupal by anger, the gopis by apparently lust, the people of Dwarka, or the Pandavas, through family relationship, and Narada, through devotional service, through the practice of devotional service. So Narada Muni is a very special person in these terms. He executed devotional service so wonderfully and got so much mercy from the Lord, he became the great, great authority. The person, he's considered Shachadesh Avatar, even though he's a jiva soul, he's empowered by the Lord so much, by the Lord's internal potency, or particularly his bhakti shakti, he's considered a type of form of the Lord. And therefore, he travels around, preaches, and so many people become Krishna conscious. Yeah. And so this is what he's describing here. And therefore, because he's so fixed in Krishna consciousness, unbroken devotional service, there's no question of his falling down, as there may be for others. Particularly others who are engaged in other processes, and even other devotees who are not engaged in unbroken devotional service. So, if we follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and try and travel around and spread Krishna consciousness and get the mercy of the Lord, then, as Prabhupada says here, all the devotees of the Lord are unhesitatingly qualified to enter into the kingdom of God by Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada King. And then any comment or question or anything? Okay. I can still first and you read the Prabhupada loud and clear and then go to the Prabhupada.
A couple of ideas that I have. First one is that Narada Muni admitted to the Lord that he wasn't capable of preaching in Kalyuga. So just reflecting on Srila Prabhupada and how Srila Prabhupada was actually able to travel around the world, and in fact actually did more than Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
In terms of success,
for sure.
Right? And so I was just wondering, is Prabhupada better than Narada Muni? And also, I mean, the other point you made that the devotees are more taken back to God then. But surely there's an effort we have to put in. There's something that we have to do. We see that in Srila Prabhupada's example where when you see how he was empowered by Krishna, I mean, he would never have been able to do what he did.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, he endeavored like anything to do what he did. So, who is Srila Prabhupada?
Okay. Well, first of all, the first one, I don't think it's really appropriate to attempt some sort of relative evaluation of Narada Muni, Prabhupada to Narada Muni. You know, one thing, Narada Muni, when he came that time, as described in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya had not appeared. So he hadn't got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you could say. Whereas Prabhupada came, Lord Chaitanya had appeared and given his whole process and everything. So Prabhupada was sort of in an advantageous position, you could say, as a preacher. But anyway, it's very nice. And definitely Prabhupada is a very, very special, special soul. Yeah. Who's got so much mercy from the Lord. And why? Well, you know, like we mentioned there, or Lord Krishna mentions, when devotees become like this and that and develop different qualities, then Krishna appreciates. Krishna becomes attractive. So as aspiring devotees, we, you know, on one hand we should render service and just absorb ourselves favorably in devotional service. On the other hand, we should actually try to develop better qualities. You know, by our backgrounds, no matter where you're born, by our backgrounds, there's so many disqualifications. And we should really try to develop qualifications. Not just wait until they just manifest. They will manifest. But we should also try. So, and when Krishna, like Mother Yashoda saying, maybe Krishna, when he saw the effort, then he reciprocated. She didn't just sit down and, you know, tell Krishna to tie himself up. She really tried. Even though it was very difficult, you know, she's a middle-aged woman, heavily built, Krishna is this agile, little, mischievous stem that you can't catch him. But then when her desire to serve the Lord as a mother and help him as a mother reached a certain point, then because of that love, Krishna became overpowered and he couldn't stop himself being tiny. So yeah, we have to make the endeavor. Someone said, as far as I know, it wasn't Prabhupada, but it's a quite nice idea, I think, that as aspiring devotees, we should try as if everything depends on us, just our best efforts. But we should pray for mercy as if it all just depends on Krishna. And somewhere between these two aspects, you know, by Krishna's grace, things will start happening. Something like that.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for your enlightening class. Just a couple of comments, 30 seconds on this. One is, it was pointed out, I think David is wrong during this class, that Naraduni does come here in the form of Shiva's artwork and is a very important role to play in the past. Also, in one purport, I don't recall which one, probably thanks Narada Muni for very kindly appearing in this Srimad Bhagavatam, pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should always remember that in the personalities we're reading about are actually appearing. Well, I wanted to put a plug for Narada Bhakti Sutra, which probably mentions in this purport. Many devotees kind of ignore that book, goes over to this light book. Prabhupada wrote 12 of the sutras. He translated 12 sutras, gave a beautiful purport for those, and then he gave it up to the TLC, the Muslim TLC, that we resume as in the introduction. And it's such a wonderful book. So it's a sutra. You can read the sutras in about 20 minutes to get the whole view of Narada Muni's essence of his teaching in bhakti. So, and of course, Prabhupada was a beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada, wrote early on in 1960s. So it's those are the points I want to make.
Thank you. Just allow me as a final point, in regard to, you know, Prabhupada referring to Narada Muni's presence. Yamuna told the story, they were doing a program somewhere, and she was leading kirtan, and suddenly in the middle of the kirtan, Prabhupada started saying, Narada Muni, Vijaya Veena, what is it? Radhika Ramana Dhaname, that song. And right in the middle of the kirtan, you must have read that. And she didn't really know what to do. Should she stop and just let Prabhupada take over? But she carried on with the kirtan. And afterwards she asked Prabhupada, you know, what was happening? And Prabhupada said something like, well, Narada Muni was there. And she asked, what was he doing, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, he was laughing. Look at all these yamanas and the lectures, dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. He found it amusing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada came.